Right, Johnny Hero Show here on U105. Very, very pleased to say our special guest today is footballing legend Pat Crerar. And how are you doing, Pat?
I'm fine, John.
It's brilliant just to be talking to you. Seriously, you must get
easily pleased.
No, hero worship all the time because it was just, I don't know if other fans feel the same way. You were just, because I'm a United fan since it was sort of 2 foot high.
I think probably the majority of people here, was it George Best?
It was Bestie. For me, it was Bestie.
And I found it strange coming into the airport when they're arriving at George Best Airport.
Yeah.
I had a little smile, actually.
Yeah. But then you would have known him very well, you know. So it's always hard, I think, to see your mates being treated differently. You sort of go, I know him, he's an idiot like me, you know, that kind of thing.
I know, but people don't change. No matter that whatever status they get in life, people are still the same.
Yeah. Would George have had a smile at the fact that there was an airport named after him? Do you think he'd have?
Yeah. He wouldn't believe it, actually, I suppose. But he was a great lad, George.
Yeah.
You know, I say this all the time about him, and people find it hard to believe. He's one of the most shyest persons you ever met in your life.
Was he, yeah?
And the media gives you a totally different impression.
Exactly, because we only see, when they used to do documentaries about him running around boutiques and sports cars and swanky apartments and stuff, but you would have known the other side of him.
One or two girls.
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay, you both played for the team. You know, there was Charlton Best, Law, there was Alex
Nobby
Stepney,
Stiles.
There was Johnny Aston, there was Nobby Stiles. What a team that was.
Yeah. It was terrific at the time.
And how did you fit in? Because you came from Celtic. So were you the bit of the stranger coming to town?
No, I wasn't. I was the one that got in to make it. I made it.
No.
I mean, when I look back, particularly in 1968, when we won the European Cup and that success that United had, there was only two players played in the final that Matt Busby bought. There was me and, I think, Tony Dunbar. Myself and Alex Stepney were the only two players that were bought. Everybody else had come through the ranks at Manchester United. Which is an amazing feat.
It wouldn't happen now, really.
No, it'd be very difficult to happen now.
Yeah. Do you remember sort of vividly the events? Like, I mean, okay, I know you played in the FA Cup final against Leicester, a couple of league winning teams, but the European Cup final night, do you remember exactly the feeling? Yeah,
of course. I mean, if you spoke to people that were at the game that night, I mean, I've met loads of people that were at the game that night and remember everything about it. People at kids at 13 and 14 that made their way to London, took the day off school, which they weren't supposed to do. Things like that. And I suppose if you're a young kid, that's vivid in your memory.
Yeah.
Particularly won the European Cup, stuff like that, how they got there. And I find it funny talking to people afterwards because obviously everybody that follows a football team is not the richest man in the world. Most people had to get back to Manchester after the game. There was no trains.
Yeah.
So they're all hitchhiking, whatever they were.
I'm sure they'd have walked home, they wouldn't have
cared. I'm sure they'd have been walking in the air probably, not walking in the ground.
Yeah. You went into management for a year, Northampton?
Yeah. I went to Northampton.
What happened?
I didn't enjoy it very much. I don't think it was for me. I mean, people that weren't really football people making decisions that you wouldn't agree with and all that.
The Blazers?
To a certain degree, they would probably blame me and I'd blame them. So we'd both take blame for it equally.
But you've made the media thing your own now, the voice of MUTV, basically.
I know, being on MUTV, I mean, you're talking about one of the biggest supported clubs in the world, if not the biggest supported clubs in the world. It's fantastic. You know, I travel with United whenever they go on tour, and MUTV is very popular in Malaysia, China. I mean, China's crazy.
Yeah.
I went there. I've been all these places with United, and I remember we went to Guangzhou in China. Now, Guangzhou, 30 million people.
You're kidding?
And they all knew about United. I mean, I'd never heard of Guangzhou.
Yeah.
So if I want a Chinese meal on a Saturday night for nothing, I can go to China. But how do I get back?
Do United tend to do this? I mean, the players who have served the club and use them various capacities.
Which I think is a great idea.
It's brilliant.
In actual fact, because we've... And match day at Manchester United, there's about 12 or 14 different where people can come and eat and all that sort of thing. And they'll all stick an old player in there. And it's great because the majority of people you get, they're all football fans. Some of them are United fans that are maybe live in some foreign country miles away. You get them from all different countries in the world. And you just go and have a conversation with them. And the great thing you have in common, which makes the conversation easy, you're talking about United.
Yeah.
And they're all fanatical fans. I mean, you can go down to Old Trafford most days. I don't go down most days, but I bypass it most days. And the number of people that are down there every day doing tours, all the stuff, is incredible. And you'd be lucky if you went down there any day and you'd meet an English person or someone.
No, listen, I was there, I think it was about a year ago, and I was there the day before a game. It was on a Friday, Friday morning, and I says to the wee lad, "Mum, we'll go and do a tour of the ground."
Yeah.
I think there were 40 tours on that day, and we were lucky to get on the last tour.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was but as you say, people from all over the world.
All over the world. That's the way the club's going.
And when the guy said, "Listen, we're pretty booked up," my wee lad's face was like, "No." And I thought, "Oh, please, please, we've come all this way." But we got on the last tour of the day. So listen, Harry Gregg, Harry gets his testimonial 15th of May. Martin O'Neill and David Jeffrey are going to be managing an Irish League select. It's going to be, how well did you know Harry?
Exceptionally well. When I first came to United in 63, Harry was the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Harry was the goalkeeper. In the period of time I was playing there, Harry got a bad injury, which more or less...
Yeah, finished it, yeah.
More or less finished. And Harry lived about 60 yards from me, 70 yards from me, and Harry's got a big family, and they're a very musical family. Very musical. Harry's a terrific singer.
Didn't know that.
He, Harry, get the guitar out. Absolutely fantastic. And he would come round most Sundays, and you'd look out the window and you see them all tripping up the road about 7, and my wife would turn around and say, "Here's the Von Trapp family coming." Every one of them was musical.
Yeah.
I got on tremendous. Harry was a great, great friend of mine when I first came to Manchester. I didn't really know anybody, but Harry, I wasn't married. Harry would, football mad, whenever there's a game, I'm coming with you, Harry. Being a player at a particular club, you can get into most grounds for free anyway. So the number of times we would go to Liverpool or all the local teams.
Yeah, just to watch a game,
City, just to watch football.
Yeah.
He was terrific, Harry.
Did Harry have a special kind of status at United when you went there because of what had happened at Munich and everything else?
Nobody ever spoke about it, actually.
Yeah?
No, when I went to United, nobody ever spoke about Munich or anything like that. It was a strange situation. Everybody knew it was there, and everybody knew that the one thing United wanted to do, particularly Mark, was to win the European Cup.
Yeah.
That was the big factor that was there all the time. Harry would come round to my house most Sundays, and I would start a conversation about it, but it wouldn't last very long. You know, what happened and who done what and not.
Yeah.
And Harry wouldn't really say anything. But at that particular time at Manchester, nobody said anything.
Yeah, well, for years.
Never spoke about it. Nobody spoke about it.
Well, for decades. I know the local media were trying to get Harry to do stuff, and he was very reluctant.
It must have been a dreadful situation for him, something like that to happen. Because when you play football, there's a great camaraderie amongst footballers. Absolutely fantastic camaraderie.
Well, listen, we've seen it recently with Fabrice Muamba. Yeah.
And that's been fantastic. And what really, I'm going to say enjoyed, God bless the kid, I hope the kid gets all right, but what really enjoyed the fact of all the football fans getting together.
Yeah.
I mean, once the game started, they'd be calling each other for everything, but it's just the appreciation that football fans do have in situations like that.
Yeah, as you say, rivalry's always there, but then something happens to remind you, football is only so important, you know.
Yeah, and it can get people together to a great degree.
Yeah, so Harry's testimonial.
Windsor Park, Belfast.
15th of May. Are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there. I'm sure a lot of the older players from Harry's generation, if God bless them, if there's many of them left.
Yeah.
But
so are you covering for MUTV then as well?
Yeah, going to do the game, yes. So I'll be over anyway. You'll be over anyway. And I hope he gets a great turnout, because there's nobody. Just a heroic figure for me, because I never met Harry in my life, and my family, coming from an Irish family, if Northern Ireland were playing somebody, we supported Northern Ireland. If the Southern Ireland were playing, we supported Southern Ireland. But when I was growing up early in my life, I saw the great Peter Doherty playing. That's blooming ancient.
Yeah.
Playing at Hampden Park, and we'd all go there and support Northern Ireland against Scotland, because where I came from in the Gorba, it was very Irish-orientated area.
Yeah.
And anything that was Irish, we supported. Rinty Monaghan fighting Jackie Parson for the world title, listening to the television, radio, and supporting Rinty Monaghan. Just with the area we were brought up in.
And so then you ended up playing alongside Harry Gregg.
But Harry was a big, big hero, because I remember the World Cup 1958.
He was voted the best keeper.
The best goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah.
And for them to get how far they got in the World Cup that year was an incredible feat.
Yeah.
And then getting to meet Harry either, because I was much younger than Harry then. When you go to Old Trafford and you look at certain players, and when I looked at Bobby Charlton and Harry Gregg, there was a bit of awe there from me because I'd only read about them. I'd never met them.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of awe there, players of that stature. But I got to know Harry, out of them all, I got to know Harry very, very well because of the fact there was a sing-song of this one.
Well, I've met him a few times. He's a gentleman, absolute gentleman. Fella. Well, that's good. You're going to be over for the big match at Windsor. What kind of squad do you think Fergie will bring over? It's 2 days after the season ends.
Yeah, he'll play strong the squad, I'm sure, because the manager's, what's the word, the history of Manchester United is very important to him, and players, the likes of Harry, are very important to him. I mean, I'm going back about 3 years ago now. Harry's son's a coach here, one of the teams, and Harry phoned me up, do you think my son could go down to watch the training at Manchester United? I said, I don't think there's any problem in that. So the lad turned off at my door, young John Henry. So we go down to the training ground, and I says, Harry, this is Harry Gregg's son, and he wants to do a week watching the coach. No problem whatsoever. Yeah. When, do you want to come now, son? And it was absolutely fantastic with him, Alex Ferguson.
And that's a strange thing. Because, as you know, a lot of clubs guard their training very, very,
very
carefully.
Yeah.
We don't want you watching.
But he's not like that, Alex Ferguson. I mean, he's fantastic looking after a younger generation of people that want to get involved in the game or want to watch the team coach. And if you ask any of the managers, and if you asked all the managers in England, who's the most popular manager amongst the managers, Alex? Because they're all on the phone to him. What do I do? Or do I need this? Or can you help in any way? It's fantastic with him.
Oh, that's good. Well, listen,
that's
Pat,
his socialist upbringing, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Well, listen, thanks for coming in. It's been brilliant to talk to you. It really
Lovely,
has.
John.
And we'll see you on the 15th of May. Yeah. And you're over before then anyway. You're doing a question and answer at the White Fort on the 11th of May. That's good. Yes, the boys are all nodding.
You're three lads behind me.
You can talk if you want, lads. You know what? Yes. The White Fort, question
and
answer.
No, from Belfast. And if they start talking, you won't get a word done, John.
So, 11th of May, question and answer session with Pat Crerand in the White Fort. What time's that start, boys?
It's 6:30.
John. 6:30, no problem. I was up when Harry did one recently and it was great. Great steam.
You're not the first person that said that. Yeah. Harry was terrific.
Really good. So, see, you've got to follow that now, Pat.
God bless you, John.
But listen, thanks for coming in, mate. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.